Do you know who's going under the radar?
Who?
Diogo Dalot. I'm not bringing a United defender in. But I think it's a bias on my own team. Because they've got 3 clean sheets in a row. The last game, Dalot had an assist, came out with 3 bonus points. 4 game weeks ago, they played City, so you can kind of discount that. But before that, they played Sheffield and he scored a goal, had 11 points. He's actually been kind of doing really well under the radar past few weeks. He's the 7th highest scoring defender, and you would not expect that, you know. Like no one realized how high up he is. And all United defenders, I guess.
So but is that a recommendation for Dalot?
No, it's an observation on Dalot and his points.
Oh, this is big.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the FPL Banger Show. My name is Siva. I'm joined by Sam for the Game Week 14 preview. And Sam, how's it been? You know, so long since we last recorded an episode. You missed last week, coming back from international break. It was going to be a bad week either way. So we both didn't feel up for it. Would that be fair? You know?
Yeah, and I think sorry to our listeners. I think we were both just really busy with work and stuff. We couldn't get the time. And then next thing you know, game week started. And we were like, oh man, we didn't even record anything this week.
I mean, it was one of those weeks where, you know, we were coming like maybe a day before deadline. I was thinking we should really try and get this episode if we can. But you look at the fixture list last week and City playing Liverpool and Spurs playing Villa, yeah. Right? And you just didn't see any obvious standout fixtures to target. And it felt like one of those where you're going to get a bad score this week most likely, unless you luck out. I did. I had Anthony Gordon.
I lucked out with my captaincy.
Who'd you captain?
I captained Saka. Took a differential from everyone and finished with one more point than Haaland. So,
hey.
Big brain move.
Yeah, and that's one of those really... Since you brought up Saka, that's a perfect segue, right? Let's talk about Saka because there's a lot of discussion this week about Saka. One of the reasons we record so late in the week is I always feel like if it's a Champions League week, I like to see the games before we start making very large conclusions because I heard a lot of FPL content Monday, Tuesday talking about Saka's got to go. These returns are lucky. They're not sustainable. Bad FPL asset, bad XG. He keeps stealing these hauls. How does he even deserve any assist points? Giving away his penalties. It's time. Saka is not a legit asset. I will not name these content creators. You know who they are. Okay. And then, of course, last night happens. Arsenal smash Len 6-0. And Saka gets a goal and an assist. People still don't want to put respect on his name because Champions League doesn't count, right? Only FPL counts.
As a United fan, Champions League doesn't count at all. What is the Champions League?
Yeah, it's funny. United top of the form table in the Premier League, right? 5 wins out of 6 for Champions League. Yeah, man. Once that anthem goes off, you are like how Sevilla is in the Europa League. They can't be beaten.
Reverse.
You're the opposite of that.
Okay. Back to Saka.
Talk to me.
I don't know. I see it, bad stats, bad XA, bad XG compared to his normal. He's overperforming. But when someone is returning so consistently, I wouldn't say he's a sell. Do you know what I mean? Unless your team is so perfect, there's an argument, I think, that you can say that he's not worth his price because he's 8.8. You could go lower and use that extra money to upgrade elsewhere. I think that's the argument you could make, but in a vacuum, like Salah individually saying that he's a bad asset, come on, he's returning so consistently, 4 goals, 7 assists already this season. How can you even complain?
I think one of the reasons people are not satisfied with Saka is he's not returning in the way a conventional FPL asset would, right? He's not getting, he's not like Son, he's not playing number 9, he's not playing out of position, he's...
Are you trying to avoid saying he's not getting double-digit hauls? Low ceiling, high floor?
You know me, double. Double digit hauls aren't a thing in my vernacular. I would never say that. But I think people, Saka, we always talk about this, right? It's funny because we watch a lot of games and then we talk about it on a podcast and then we listen to multiple other podcasts. But I think sometimes FPL, some guys, you should just not watch games. Like, if you watch the whole game, you will get frustrated with what they do and don't do. Like, you could watch Callum Wilson play for Newcastle. He'll do nothing for 89 minutes and then he'll score a goal and get max bonus. Yeah. And Saka's kind of becoming like that, right? Arsenal in general just aren't as cohesive and attacking unit as they were last season. Somewhat by design. Champions League aside, and to be fair, Arteta did address that yesterday. So after the game against Lens, he was asked about this and he said, Champions League, he said what everyone was thinking. He said in Champions League, it's easier. Teams don't set up to defend so much. They give us a bit of space and so we can exploit it. That being said, yesterday against Lens is the first time this whole season that Arsenal started Saka, Odegaard, Martinelli, Jesus, Havertz, all together. Yeah. That five, with Rice playing as holding. It's not to say that they all haven't been fit this season, but basically Jesus has been out for a lot of it. Yeah, when he's been fit, Martinelli's had injuries. Havertz has been out of form. Havertz wasn't starting for quite a long time. Now he's finally, like, this is the Kai Havertz who I was bringing into my FPL team and thinking, yeah.
Playing left back for Germany rejuvenated his career.
Maybe that just sort of gave him the kickstart in his comeback as like prime Thomas Müller for Arsenal, late arrivals into the box, Ram Deuter and all that. You can't draw too many conclusions from one game, but I think with Saka, there are so many pros to him as a pick, right? He's on set pieces. He is on some penalties. I think he has like first right of refusal on pens. He is, most importantly, 90-minute guy. Like, doesn't get taken off. The substitution against Lens was so surprising. He came off on 60 minutes. But otherwise, he never comes off. Like, Martinelli always comes off on 70. Jesus will come off on 70 for Nketiah. Saka never comes off. And he's great on bonus. I mean, he gets bonus points against Brentford. He did nothing for the whole game. Put in two crosses, which created two of Arsenal chances. One, Jesus, I think, headed it, went wide. And then the second one was the goal. I struggle to see why this guy is such a bad pick for people. You can't... Money is not an issue this season. Who are you spending your money on?
I mean, if you want like Son, Salah, Trippier, Haaland, Watkins, then yeah, you might need the money. Maybe can't afford Saka in that team. I know because I'm facing that issue right now. But you know, if you don't need all these other assets, like I said earlier, I think in a vacuum, he is definitely a good asset. And going back to your point about Arsenal not playing so well, I think the fact that he can return when they're not playing well, I mean, they can't be like this the entire season, right? Eventually, things will click. And once they, you know, start playing fluidly, like you said, it was the first time they started all of their main attackers, right? So once things start clicking, you can expect Saka to start hauling in more points, you know?
I think so. And in the meantime, like you say, he's ticking over consistently. There's no real reason to be worried here. Yeah, sure, he didn't haul big against Sheffield United. He came off early. Unfortunately, Nketiah scored a hat-trick before he could, you know, get going. He didn't haul against Burnley, fair enough. Didn't haul against Brentford. Were you expecting a big haul against Brentford? I think 8 points is fine.
Yeah, I mean, even Burnley, he came out with an assist, 5 points. It's just, he's so consistent. I think he's only... Okay, I'm looking at it right now. He's only had 2 points in one game this entire season. And another game, he had three. Okay, that's a clean sheet. But other than that, every single other game... So basically, he's only blanked twice this season. And that is crazy consistency.
Yeah. So it's not sexy and it's probably not captainable, but it is good, decent. It keeps coming. And he's the only guy in that Arsenal attack who's going to keep playing every week, 90 minutes in and out. He even said he didn't want to come off for this game, but Arteta made him come off. I think this is one of those... Okay, so we've discussed about holding Saka, but what do you think about buying Saka this week? Because for me, you got Wolves, don't have Gomez, don't have Lamina, probably don't have Ait Nouri, he's going to be injured. So no DMs, and then they're losing one of their main wingbacks. And I mean, Arsenal, I feel like this is a fixture worthwhile considering, and they play Luton next week.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I actually only brought Saka in fairly recently. I can't remember which game week. So I'm late on the Saka train. I'm happy to be here. So yeah. Good fixtures coming up. I mean, Wolves, Luton. Now Villa at home, that might be a tough fixture. Villa home. But then after that, Brighton, Liverpool, West Ham, Fulham, Palace, Forest. It's a good fixture run. I'm very happy to have Arsenal assets for this run.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I know Luton away didn't work out for Salah. Hasn't worked out for a couple of people. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you got to target teams at that position in the table, I think.
Oh, someone on Reddit, I think, did this thread where they said, do not target Luton. Because for some reason, every time a team plays Luton and you expect them to trash Luton, sometimes they do, but the people you pick will not score. It's been a trend. Like, Luton are not... You know, for example, they played Palace. You would think, oh, Eze, great pick. Now Eze didn't do anything. I mean, he got injured, but... It's, I don't know, some kind of taboo thing they have going on. United played Luton, you would think Rashford, maybe Bruno. Nope, Lindelof scored.
So I mean, yeah, but let's keep Luton. Let's keep, you can't compare, you know, you're talking about Luton against mid-table teams. So let's talk about Palace.
When Luton played Liverpool, they drew 1-1. You would think Salah captain against Luton? Ooh, you know? But no, Luis Diaz and assist by Elliot.
Sample sizes, mate. I think you can take a couple of results in isolation. You can go
back to the start. No one who's supposed to score big against Luton scores big. Look, Villa beat Luton 3-1. You would think Watkins. Yeah, let's captain him. No, McGinn and Diaby. Watkins blank.
You're not talking me out of getting Saka in time to Luton, mate. I mean, you can sell this any way you want, you know. I think you can't have it both ways. You can't say that Saka's not a very... Like, people say Saka's not a consistent FPL asset. He keeps stealing these returns. But at the same time, you can't, don't go for Luton. Nah, man.
They're going to win like 1-0 and the goal will come from like Tomiyasu or something like that. Some asset
and Saka will get the assist and we'll get 2 bonus points and we'll all be happy.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. But as a whole, Saka, good asset. I think he has our stamp of approval.
Yeah, I'm bringing him in this week. I don't see this as... I took him out a long time ago, or Sun, actually.
Okay.
Which hasn't hurt me, but I think the fixtures now for Arsenal are looking really good. And I like the fact... I like everything I saw against Lens. I thought this is kind of the Arsenal I recognize now. Martinelli cutting in, taking shots. Jesus was... I don't know, man. Jesus in UCL is just... It just hits different. Mm-hmm. I think... Yeah. Something about this team is clicking now, and you want to be slightly ahead of the curve. I don't really want to wait around. I don't think this is a false dawn anymore. I think this is the real thing now.
And I think Saka is a safe asset either way. You know, it's one of those you can kind of leave in your entire team then, you know, the whole season, and he will tick on with points.
Yep, I think so too. So having spoken about Saka, I guess we got to discuss the other edge. I mean, the flip side of it, right? The other guy who everyone is discussing, it's Son. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 blanks in a row now. No Madison, no Richarlison. You can debate whether that's good or bad. Obviously, they're missing. Who else are they missing? Perisic. They're missing. They have no centre backs, no Van de Ven. Romero still suspended. They showed up against Villa. And I mean, on paper, it's a very suspect team, right? Like two fullbacks at centre back.
Yeah.
Lo Celso. Yeah. And Brian Hill starting.
Lo Celso
hasn't started. He did really well, which is nice because I always see him for Argentina. I think this guy's really good. Why isn't he playing for Spurs? That's Lo Celso's first start since Nuno's last game.
Oh, it's a long time. Didn't he go off on loan? Yeah. He was,
he
right?
Did. He went off to Villarreal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm worried. I'm worried as a Sun owner. Although he did score a hat-trick in the last game, hat-trick of offsides, but there's something up with the VAR and stuff like that in the last game, right?
They were genuine offsides, man. I don't think you can run away from that.
I don't know. Do you see the new offside rules proposed by Wenger? Do you see that?
I did. I got no comments about changing the offside rule. They can't even enforce this one. So,
But yeah, I'm worried. And they're playing City. I think if you want to exit, there can be no better exit point than when they're about to play City away.
Oh, so you away. Don't... I'm intrigued, Sam. You normally believe in all these past records and teams.
I'm keeping Sun. City considered some very suspect counter-attacking goals in the UCL. And honestly, City has not been keeping clean sheets. So I think a goal can come. I think City will win. But I think a goal can happen. So
you're not concerned about the fact that Spurs have half their team out?
Yeah, I am concerned, especially when Madison, the moment Madison was injured, I was concerned for Sun's points because he's so integral to the team. He's the main creator. But I have bigger fires in my team, so I'm okay to keep Sun. But I think for others, if you lost faith, there's no better exit point than before you play City away.
Okay, let's talk about their fixtures, right? So they play City away, they play West Ham home, Newcastle home, Forest away, Everton home. That takes you up to game week 18.
It's good fixtures. I mean, aside from the City game, aside fixtures. From Newcastle, yeah, okay. So three out of five are good. And even then, you could argue West Ham, it's not that easy of a fixture. Without Madison, can they break down low blocks and things like that? So there is a lot of question marks, I think, on Sun.
It's hard. We're having to draw conclusions in a very small amount of time, which I don't like doing because, 90 minutes of football is so short. Against Wolves, they were awful. Like, Sun did absolutely nothing the whole game. Like, he was the second best Korean player on the pitch. So, very worrying. And then against Villa, much better. I think Lo Celso and Hill coming in helped a lot. Again, Brian Hill hasn't started a game in a few years for Spurs. So definitely the changes seem to help. But Villa's style of play allows you to get a lot of these offside chances. Like, I think Villa have the most offsides against them in the entire league. So that may look very good on the eye test because, high line and he's getting in, but he's still getting caught offside. Like, I'm not sure he gets that space against City. And then going forward, like you say, West Ham, I'm not sure he actually gets that space. I'm a little concerned, and it's one of those, I guess you have to be a bit brave, right? Because some people are selling him this week, but I don't think this isn't the sort of like the end. Like, if he blanks again, I think then there will be finally that push, but we're sort of at the tipping point now.
I think my personal recommendation would be sell. That's how I would place, I'll categorize it. It's just that personally in my own team, I have other fires to put out, so I can't. But if you're in a position to do so, I would say sell.
In principle, I have no issues with that. Because logically, right, you take all the creators, the best creators, the recognized players out of a team, then the striker should suffer. It's quite a leap to that. Just assume they will work this out with, Brennan Johnson and Kulusevski and such like random players. They're just plugging in names now at this point. It's not anything remotely close to what they were doing at the start of the season.
Hey, Brennan Johnson's a good player, man. Put some respect on his name.
He's fine, right? But I mean, these aren't the guys who made Sun essential at the start of the season.
Yeah. They're not Madison.
They're not Madison. And I mean, it just feels like something isn't clicking here. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe we're completely wrong and they score three goals against City. I don't know. But when you look at other teams... I guess the real issue with replacing Sun is who are you going to? I think that's the bigger problem. Because can you name five other midfielders you'd rather have over Sun? I think that's the real question here.
Yeah. I mean, so that's the thing. A lot of people have them, right? You could go Saka, like we discussed. Yeah. If you don't have Salah, this could be an opportunity to scrape in some money, move up to Salah. And then there are some budget options if you wanna save your money for whatever reason. Maybe you are like me and do not have Haaland in your team and you want him back. In which you will need to find money from somewhere. Sun could be that sacrifice.
Yeah, but I'm struggling to think of five mids I'd rather, because I have all those people, so I don't have the same issues you have. And I struggle to think of,
Mbwemo.
Could I have Mbobo. See, so
but most people don't.
Struggling to relate
to
this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that's your team. You have a great team, Siva. I don't need to rub it in all our faces.
Would you sell Sun for Mbomo?
Yeah, I would. Great fixtures for Mbwemo coming up. And Mbwemo, let me tell you, let me throw some stats for you, Siva. He has the fourth highest non-pen XG plus XA, expected goals contribution, non-pens. Yeah, fourth highest in the entire league. He's been doing really well.
Do you know how old Mbwemo is?
He's really young. He's like 23 or 24, really, I think. Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah, he is.
Doesn't look like it.
He doesn't look like it.
But he's young. I know, because I played something where. Wait, yeah, FM. Yeah, I played FM.
You've been playing FM, yeah. Yeah, he was part of this very interesting French youth setup I was going through that day. He, Moussa Diaby, Otzen Edouard. Apparently, Otzen Edouard was going to be like the next Thierry Henry at one point.
I remember. Yeah. Anyway, I would. Great fixtures coming up, man. And Brentford has been doing the business. You are one of the few who actually kept faith in Mbwemo and were rewarded. You got his two double-digit hauls in Gaming 9 and 10. Yes, he blanked the last two, but it was, against Arsenal and against Liverpool away. So you can forgive him for that. But now, Luton, although, I did discuss this. Don't captain anyone who plays Luton. Then Brighton, then Sheffield, then Villa. Okay, Villa, they're at home against Villa. So Villa, for some reason, seem a lot worse away than when they're at home. The only thing is he has a blank in 18, so you have to find a way to navigate that, because he blanks and City blanks, right?
Yeah.
So you got to have a strong bench if you have Alvarez, Haaland, and Mbwemo. You're stuck. All three of your bench are going to have to play. But other than that,
yeah.
I see no downsides. After the blank, he plays Wolves, Palace, Forest. Those are great fixtures. It's a great fixture run.
I'm struggling to relate to this because I have Mbwemo, but I don't feel... Is he that essential? I don't know. Is he somebody I would be bringing in for Sun? Something about that just seems wrong, man. I mean...
I would do it.
Maybe it's aura. I'm thinking too much about Spurs and Sun aura against Brentford, And Bomo. Maybe I need to recalibrate how I'm looking at this.
I think you're like that because you already have Mbwemo. So you're not grateful to him, man. You're not grateful for the points he has given you in the past 5 weeks.
I'm taking him for granted. That's fair. Would you go Mbwemo or Gordon? I have both, so again, I can't really.
Yeah, I would go both. I have Gordon. I think we both went very early on Gordon.
We did.
And we have been rewarded for it. So it was a good move. Gordon, captain him when he plays at home, basically. Siva doesn't believe in all this. He has not blanked at home. He has scored a goal. Yeah, literally every time they play at home.
I will say that Newcastle at home do look like a different beast. I think that's not an unfair statement to make. I don't think I'll be captaining him, especially now that... But I think Isak coming back has helped him a lot, because Gordon's not a striker, and when they were playing him as striker, it just wasn't working. Isak coming back, he's got a target man to play off. Great performance against Chelsea. Even against PSG, looked really good. I think Newcastle are very unlucky. Easiest fixture in the whole league this week, right? At home for Newcastle. Yeah.
Against United.
Yeah, against United.
The easiest. United has the best form in the league. It's the hardest game you could play in the league right now.
Yeah, but but Gordon gets to play against Andre Onana, mate. So I think I'll take my chances.
Oh, Onana in the league is great. I mean, not great, but he's okay. I don't know what's up in the Champions League that caused his hands to become jelly. But anyway, Gordon.
Every great, shot that Ziyech took, mate. Yeah. Every shot Ziyech took.
Every shot. We are very happy with Gordon, and he's so cheap, or not as cheap as he was. But he's still cheap. He's 5.9.
So Gordon or Mbwemo? I guess that's the question. Because you're having that blank in 18.
Price range. It's like almost 2 mil. No, one. My math is bad. 1 point something mil. How much is Mbwemo right now?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, it's a price difference, but a lot of people are going to make that decision this week, especially considering the fact that Gordon plays in 18, Bomo doesn't. In fact, Gordon plays, I think Poche is a very good fixture in 18. He plays Luton. Well, bad fixture.
Bad fixture.
But yeah, he plays Luton away.
It's tough, right? Very little. Gordon is so much cheaper. And, you know, 2 mil could go a long way. But Mbemo's fixtures lists are great. But then there's the blank. So it's a tough one, Siva.
But Mbomo has pens.
Mbomo has pens. Gordon doesn't need pens.
I think Mbomo's still okay.
Yeah, I would go Mbemo. If you have the money for it, you don't need to save up and whatnot, you know. However, you do really need to plan your gaming 18. Make sure you can make it.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to pay Burnley defenders, Bayer and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And especially, we still don't know if the double game week 20 is happening because it was meant to be Brentford and City having a double. It hasn't been confirmed. Krellin says he's not sure now. We'll see where that goes. But I still think Mbomo's, yeah, he's got the pens. I'd still have him over Gordon, but I have both. And I think ultimately they're both good picks. So maybe the move is work out how to get them both in.
Yeah. Why not both? Since they're both relatively cheap.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're going to say selling Sun, I definitely not selling Sun for Gordon this week. Mbomo, I can sort of accept on some level. Still not thrilled about it.
Hmm.
But definitely not for Gordon, I think. Gordon's okay, good because he's at that price. He's not a premium asset for me.
Yeah. I mean, he's so good for his price, honestly. The amount of points he's given us for his price. And I don't see it stopping. Especially since Harvey Barnes is still injured. How long is he going to be injured? I'm not sure.
No return date. And let's hope it stays that way because it's finally stopped Gordon's rotation issues, which is nice. Mm.
And I'm really happy for Gordon because when he moved last season, you know, a lot of people wrote him off. But he had an excellent summer in the under-21.
Yeah, under-21 Euros.
Yeah, did really, really well.
Played the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he came in to the Newcastle squad and proved that it was worth that they paid. I don't know, how much did they pay for him? 40 mil? Something like that, right?
40 mil. Yeah.
Yeah. So
he's been excellent.
Yep.
And we've been... you forget these guys are young, right? And people can improve. Mm. So you can't set too much store on your first impressions.
Correct. Okay.
You mentioned another player in that list, right? You're talking about game week 18 and blanks. You mentioned Julian Alvarez.
Mm, okay.
Now, yeah. Okay. So I've had Alvarez since game week 3. I think you brought him in much more recently.
I brought him in when he started blanking. So I'm sorry to all the Alvarez owners because I ruined your party. The week I brought him in, he started blanking and Haaland started scoring. So,
Okay, good. At least now we know the root cause of the issue. So can you tell me that you will be selling Alvarez this week? Because it's really starting to annoy me that he keeps showing up in UCL games but then doesn't do it in FPL. It's really starting to annoy me, mate.
I wish I could. I wish I had enough money to do like Alvarez straight to Haaland, but I don't. In fact, it's impossible unless I sell Salah. Even if I move Sun down to like a 4.5, I don't have enough money. So I'll have to see what I'm going to do. But I do really want to fix that mistake, sell Alvarez, bring in Haaland back. Just got to find a way how.
I'm concerned about Alvarez. I'll be honest. I've been watching enough games now. I do feel clearly not...
He didn't start, right? In the Champions League? Or did he didn't start.
He came
start.
On as a sub.
Yeah.
He came on when they were losing. Yeah.
You know, at least it's
I'm not concerned about minutes. Weekend. Yeah. It's a weird situation. You have a City attacker who is probably going to start week in, week out. I actually am not worried about minutes. I'm worried about productivity. I fear that he's dropping too deep at times. He can only do so many spectacular free kicks. He's probably going to do one against Spurs this week. Yeah, but he's just not taking enough shots for me and he's playing really far back and it's starting to concern me. That's before you even get to minutes risk, right? There was a rumor that he was dropped last week. There was a leak at like 10:59, 1 minute before deadline that he's dropped. I unfortunately have a life, so I wasn't checking my phone at 10:59. I checked it at 10:55 and then turned it off. But then he ended up playing anyway. Grealish was out. I don't think he's an urgent sell, but I think if you're talking about people who should be sold, Alvarez probably comes ahead of guys like Son. I think Alvarez is probably more concerning for me just because of...
Yeah.
Even if he's starting every game, he's coming off at 70 minutes. I don't like that. That's what's annoying me.
That's true. That's true. The problem is there are not many striker options in his price range. There are just not many striker options.
You got to switch to five in midfield. I think I've accepted that as a reality now.
What? Yeah, but even then, play a 3-5-2, you still need two strikers. Unless you got so much money, you can do Haaland Watkins. But money is the issue. Money is the issue. I can't do Haaland Watkins with my current squad.
Yeah, then that's a bit difficult. Oh, Haaland Darwin is what I would say. I think Darwin's fine.
Yeah, Darwin's 1 mil less than Watkins, right? Yeah. Maybe, but then you need a lot of cheap players, I guess. Palmer, Gordon and stuff to make it work.
So many cheap mids now. I mean, we are spoiled for choice. Cheap mids on pens. I think
Palmer.
You'd have
and Chelsea no actually has good fixtures coming up. Let's talk Chelsea
a bit. Great fixtures. All right. Great fixtures, right? So Chelsea play Brighton this week. Kevin kept a clean sheet. Easiest fixture in the league in game week 15 against
United.
Ten Hag. Yeah, United. And then Everton, Sheffield United, Wolves, Palace, Luton.
Fulham.
Yeah, these are good fixtures.
Good fixtures.
But
so I think Palmer can be a... could be a buy.
You're not concerned about Nkunku coming back?
I think with the way he's been playing, I don't think he'll be dropped immediately, Palmer. He could find a way to fit both of them in. It's not out of the question.
Don't share your confidence. I don't think anything in this Chelsea team is settled. I think it's a very fragile sort of harmony that they got against Spurs in a very freakish one-off game where Spurs just lost their minds. I thought the performance against Newcastle is sort of more in what I'm expecting from this Chelsea team. A bunch of individuals, Reece James being a complete moron. I mean, I feel like that's kind of what I was expecting on a more consistent basis. So I'm not sure that Cole Palmer holds his place when Nkunku comes back. I don't think anything is certain. I don't think even Pochettino knows what his best 11 will be once Nkunku comes back.
That's true. But how far is Nkunku? Do you think he'll be back before Christmas in the next few weeks?
No, that's the expectation. But whether he actually shows up and how long he takes to get in. I suppose this is maybe one of those, maybe you shouldn't think too much about it until it actually happens.
Yeah. And because I think Palmer is so cheap that you could just bench him if he really loses his place.
Yeah, you could. Fair enough. Would you take Palmer over Sterling?
Over who? Sterling.
Over Sterling. Yeah.
Yes, I think.
Free kick specialist Raheem Sterling?
It's the pen. Pen specialist Cole Palmer.
Okay. Yeah, I can't argue with that. I think it's a fair point. Palmer and Mbeumo or Gordon this week?
Mbeumo.
Okay. And then Gordon or Palmer?
Well, that's a tough one.
That's why I'm here, mate.
I would pick Gordon, but I'm not sure if it's just a bias because of how much he's done for us. Like, you know, he's been doing the business, whereas Palmer has had to rely on pens. Gordon did not, like, open play goals every other game. So I like Gordon. And I think his place is definitely more secure compared to Palmer, like we discussed earlier.
Yeah, I think those are fair. Maybe in 2 weeks down the line, I'd probably lean more towards Palmer just because fixtures are good now. They get even better then. So that's probably when he takes
Newcastle actually has really good fixtures too. I mean, after United, Everton, Spurs, Fulham, Luton. Oh, did we go through the fixtures just now?
Yeah, we did.
No, right? We did? Newcastle's fixtures?
Yeah, I mean, people can see the fixtures, right? Yeah. So,
but yeah. Good fixtures. So I think Gordon's a valid pick as well.
Yeah. So as you see, or as you go down the list, maybe keeping Sun is not that big a deal, right? Once we start talking about all these mids. And maybe there is some element of, it's because Sun is a 9 million player, we are attaching so much importance to him. And because all these other guys we're talking about are 6 mil, 5 mil, it's hard to big them up to where Sun is, but maybe that's just psychology and you need to sort of get away from the price points.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely influences your thinking. On the topic of Newcastle, Wilson is still injured, right? Isak.
Yeah.
We were talking about strikers and saying that there are lack of options. It's a good differential, I think. Came back last game. He scored in the Champions League as well.
I like Isak. It on pens.
Yeah, on pens.
While Wilson's up on pens.
Not many people are talking about him. So it's a good differential. I like it.
And a good exit route because he's going to get injured at some point. So you'll have to sell him.
Yeah, that's true. And he's 7.4, which is like kind of cheap, I guess.
Yeah. I'd probably have him as my exit route from Darwin. But if I didn't have Darwin, yeah, I wouldn't mind Isak at all.
Hmm. Okay.
Better than Darwin in the sense that he has pens, which Darwin doesn't have.
And same he for can Watkins. Actually score. Like, you know, he knows where the goal is.
Surprising how many forwards don't seem to know that. But, Okay, so we've discussed, I think, a fair amount. Forwards and Bomo, Gordon. Oh, we got to talk defenders. Matty Cash. So I think people have had enough.
And I had enough last week. I had enough last week. Sold him last week.
Always ahead of the curve.
Michael, who got a nice 1 point. Didn't really work out. But the reason why I did it was because I was not sure Bowen was going to start. And if Bowen doesn't start, I literally had no one to come in. So I just needed a player. And I identified Cash as someone I did not want in my team anyway. So Michael's on the bench.
And you brought in...
Bowen didn't play, so he came in. I mean, he's cheap, you know. He's 4.4. And he was on decent form. But he's going to be my bench player. He'll be on my bench like every week, basically.
So you used a transfer, a precious thing that you get once a week in this game. You felt the need to use it on Mikulenko before he played your team, United.
Mm. Yeah.
Bold strategy.
It's a long-term strategy, Siva, because I need money. I need money
Baldock,
I can't get in Haaland.
George Baldock, buddy. That's what I did. George Baldock returned, got 2 bonus points.
Do you actually play him? Did you start him? Or did he come in for Bowen for you?
No. Gordon came in for Bowen. Enough about my team. But yes, I started Baldock.
You're lucky. Because you started Baldock over... over Gordon. And you lucked out because Bowen did not come in. That's crazy. Simon.
No, it was a very valid decision. George Baldock, Greek international, very good fullback, returned with an assist. I started him for the attacking potential. The clean sheets are just a bonus.
And the bonus is an even bigger bonus.
And the bonus was an even bigger one.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough, Siva. Fair enough.
But yeah, many cash replacements. I assume you're not going to recommend Mikulenko.
There are, like, no one is keeping clean sheets except Arsenal. But all their defenders are kind of too expensive for their price, I think. I mean, for what they bring.
Okay, so we'll get the obvious ones out of the way. Like, if you don't have Gabriel, you get Gabriel. You don't have Gabriel, you get Saliba.
Saliba is like 5.5. And
yeah, but
he doesn't really... You get consistency, you get assured starts. You get that. You don't get bonus.
You get rent. You just got a goal against Burnley, mate. You get
Yeah, but goals. Like that's like one goal, you know? One. Last season he had 2.
Doesn't get bookings. You
know, that's it. 50% off, like 50 or 50% off the goal quota already. No, I mean, they are good assets. I'm not saying they're bad assets. Like, they will keep clean sheets. They've kept the most clean sheets in the entire league. Saliba is nailed. just for 5.5, I would like a bit more attacking potential, a bit more bonus maybe. But then again, like you said, the options are really, really slim in defenders. So price aside, Arsenal defenders are the best players to get. Yeah.
Everyone's talking about Poro, but you're not bringing Poro this week against City.
Yeah. I have Poro. I'm really happy that many weeks back I went Poro over Udogi. Worked out really well. And even in this poor run, he's came up with 5 points the past 2 weeks, had an assist in each. Really attacking. If you watch the games, he's basically like, you know, he's up there all the time. But yeah, not a good week to bring him in when they're about to play City away. After that though, I like Poro. He's probably my favorite defender to have right now.
I mean, obvious pick, and I can't believe I'm saying this because we just, you know, 2 weeks ago discussed him so heavily about him needing to be sold. It's got to be Tsimikas, because Tsimikas had obviously that masterclass 2 weeks ago, 15-pointer, and Klopp quoted today as saying, you know, he just needed some game time. He's looking great. We know he can do all these things. You know, he can put in good crosses, get assists, see him safe for the foreseeable, and they have 3 really good fixtures coming up right now. So Tsimikas, 4.7, I think.
Yeah. You could, I think. Cheap as well. 4.7 is cheap. Do you know who's going under the radar?
Who?
Diogo Dalot. I'm not bringing a United defender in. But I think it's a bias on my own team. Because they've got 3 clean sheets in a row. Last game, Dalot had an assist, came out with 3 bonus points. 4 game weeks ago, they played City, so you can kind of discount that. But before that, they played Sheffield and he scored a goal, had 11 points. He's actually been kind of doing really well under the radar past few weeks. He's the 7th highest scoring defender, and you would not expect that, you know. Like, no one realized how high up he is. And all United defenders, I guess. Someone in our mini league brought in Maguire. Can you believe it? When all the injuries happened. And he's actually been doing quite well because if he's keeping clean sheets, and Maguire's like 4.3 or something like that. So, yeah.
So, is that a recommendation for Dalot?
No, it's an observation on Dalot and his points. I won't go
just as amusing, far as just putting it out there.
Yeah, just putting it out there. Although, Bissaka is back, I think. So,
Bissaka is back and Shaw. Got the assist.
Yeah, and Shaw is back as well. So, you know, before that, you could say, oh, Dalot might play left back. Shaw is back. So, actually, how much is Shaw?
Because if he's really
back.
You're not trying to sell people.
If I remember correctly, Shaw is quite expensive. Oh, it's 5.2. I mean, Shaw actually tends to be a monster when United keeps clean sheets, like bonus points for days. Too early to move it now. I'm not saying do it now, but someone to monitor, I think.
I think United's best fixtures are behind them. I think the time to get them was maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. I think now when I look at their run, right? So who do they play now? They play Newcastle, Chelsea, and Liverpool in the next 4. I think the time to invest has passed, unfortunately. And that's true. The uptick in form is largely driven by fixtures. They beat teams who you expect them to beat. I don't see them beating any of these big teams. In fact, they've lost against all big teams this season.
Yeah, that's true. So very valid points, you know.
Yeah. So I think if we had been a bit more proactive, yeah. But I think, so basically, to sum up, I think it's Arsenal defenders or Tsimikas. Failing that, I suppose, Brentford, I mean, if you're comfortable with the blank, Ethan Pinnock, right? Mm. He's tall.
Yeah.
They like set pieces. He's tall.
And Pinnock, just like, even last season, he just kind of ticks over. You know,
yeah.
3 goals last season. Not really that many bonus points, but it's a decent asset to have, I would say. Decent.
And otherwise, I mean, Jamal Lascelles. We still don't have a Botman return date. Lascelles, cheap, yeah. Scored last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Newcastle, good fixtures. They will probably keep clean sheets. Yeah, other than that,
they will.
Yeah. And then there's no one. The problem with defenders. It's so scarce.
They all suck. Yeah, basically. Palace, but Palace have, again, coming to the end of their good run. So
yeah, and they have like
that was a few weeks ago.
Kind of terrible run coming up soon.
Yeah.
West Ham, Bournemouth, Liverpool, City, Brighton, Chelsea, Brentford, Arsenal. Tough run.
Chelsea defender would be interesting, but I think Colwill would have been the first choice for many people, and he got sub. I mean, he was benched last week, so that's put a lot of people off. Reece James, as we said, came back and did some Reece James things, so got sent off. So again, yeah, not many options here. I think Arsenal guys, Kamina, Simikas, Lascelles.
I would say forget about defenders. Just get like the cheapest defenders you can get, like Michael or something like that. And just put your money in front because all of them are kind of bad.
I spent so many transfers this season on defenders. I honestly don't think it's done any improvement to my team.
I've barely used any transfers on defenders.
Yeah. And that's kind of why Saliba is such a, you know, to come back to, circle back to why we spoke about him to start. Boring, reliable, boring, like just going to keep playing. Doesn't get yellow cards almost ever. Yeah.
But boring though. No bonus, barely goals and assists. Like, it's just 6 points every week. So boring.
He is the Saka of defenders, mate.
Yeah, I think I would be happy with like a back three of like Trippier, Poro, and Saliba. And you could probably just leave that every single game week, no matter who they play, you know, for the rest of the season, probably.
Yeah, totally fair. Shall we talk captaincy?
Yeah. Okay.
So a proper debate this week, I think. You've got Haaland against Spurs. Injury hit Spurs.
You got Gordon playing at home. Doesn't matter who he's playing. He's at home.
Yeah. I would definitely mention Anthony Gordon the same level as Erling Haaland, sure. And then you have Salah.
At home against Fulham, yeah. Saka at home against Wolves, although we did discuss, you know, low ceiling, no double-digit hauls, scarce double-digit hauls.
I mean, just because you got away with it last week, I don't think that's going to sell me on it this week. And of course, Bomo against Luton, right?
My captaincy is on Salah right now. Because I don't own Erling Haaland.
Took me a while.
But even if I did, I think I was still Captain Salah.
Nah, you wouldn't.
Nah, I would.
You're saying that to make yourself be better.
No, Haaland is just a one goal tap in merchant.
You're saying that to make yourself be better. But Haaland is playing a back four that includes Emerson Royal and Ben Davies playing centre back. You cannot find any way around that. Like, at least Fulham have recognized centre backs. They're bad centre backs, but at least Tim Ream has played centre back before.
Yeah,
like Royal's just gonna start running forward and then forget. Oh wait, I'm supposed to be back there. Oops, Royal's not even a good right back, mate.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. We'll only know if I find a way to get Haaland in this week. With minimal hits.
Yeah. I think if you see the positions Watkins was getting in against Spurs, Haaland, no-brainer for me. I love Salah. I've come around to loving Salah. I think it's probably a better way of saying it. But nah, I think Haaland's the easy pick this week.
Okay. Salah, a close second though.
Yeah, fair. Because ultimately, a midfielder who gets bonus points like there's no tomorrow. So, close enough. Like, I think for you, in your position, you don't own Haaland. Yeah, fair enough. I think you can captain Salah. No issues. But yeah, if you own both, I think Haaland for me. That feels like... And we know Haaland, big games, right? Not going to get subbed off. Always shows up. Yeah. I think
Haaland's... And then Anthony Gordon's close third. He's playing against the mighty Maguire this week though, so this might be the first week he blanks at home.
Yeah, I mean, he's facing Onana, but then again, Brian Mbeumo has Luton. Hard to say.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it from us then this week.
I think that's it. Final shout. We spoke about so many players, right? So who's the player who, not mainstream pick, that you would want to go for today? Like, if I gave you a free transfer and, you know, none of the guys we talked about, just pick a random player who we didn't discuss, who would you go for?
Oh, my first thought was Isak, but then we did discuss Isak.
So, no, that's fair. Because not mainstream enough. I like that, Alex Isak. And you would go for him this week over Watkins, over, I guess, yeah, basically, who else are you going to get as forwards? Over Darwin as well.
Yeah, over Darwin, definitely. Watkins, actually, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, because Watkins has a good fixture this week, but then after that, he plays City and Liverpool, so.
Okay.
I'm going to say Martinelli. Like, I think, I've said this a few times this season, and I think I've consistently been wrong, but I feel like now we have arrived. Like, this is, we're getting to, like, Martinelli hitting his form. I think now is the time.
Oh, no, Siva, you have hope again.
I do. I might sell Son for Martinelli.
Oh, why not Havertz? Where's your Havertz hope? Weren't you such a big advocate of Havertz early in the season?
In my defense.
I did not forget.
So was Arteta, okay, in my defense. Like, okay. There's a man who's paid a lot of money and he thought the same things I did. So,
fair
mistakes
enough.
Were made. Yeah. And to be fair, everybody in world football thinks, like, you know, who, every single manager thinks something special about Kai Havertz. I must fit him into my team. So,
it's just that left back, that one game at left back. He came back, Arteta's like, if you're going to keep playing like that, I'm going to play a left back as well.
He's like, oh, shit. Oh, no, wait, I'll score goals.
I'll score goals. I'll start doing stuff.
Okay. All right. I think that's all. So, you know, anything else to say, Sam?
No, get your green arrows, guys. We'll see you next week, hopefully.
No, we will see you next week. Yeah. Take care. Oh, this is the thing.